Buenos dias from Greenway Parks. This is the Rorschach Argentina update from the 15th of May, 2025. A quick summary of what's going down in Argentina. On Tuesday the 13th, the government announced plans to scrap import tariffs on mobile phones and cut taxes on a range of electronics to make devices more affordable and curb smuggling and theft. Manuel Adorni, the presidential spokesperson, said the cell phone tariff will be halved as soon as the new decree is published and totally removed by January 2026. Internal taxes on phones, TVs, and air conditioners, whether imported or made in the southern Tierra del Fuego province, where many electronic goods are assembled, will also drop. The administration says the move could slash consumer prices by 30% and called Argentina's current tech costs absurd compared to other countries. While consumers welcome the price relief, Gustavo Meleccia, the governor of Tierra del Fuego, pushed back. He called it a serious blow to the province's tech industry and warned it could hurt jobs and local development. Speaking of resistance, the Senate rejected the Ficha Limpia, or Clean Slate, bill by just one vote after a marathon debate. The Ficha Limpia bill would have banned politicians with corruption convictions from running for office. Critics saw the proposal as targeting former President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, who faces a confirmed graft conviction. Milei supported the bill and lashed out at lawmakers who voted it down. However, some suspect his party might have secretly worked with Kirchnerism to kill it. Two senators from the Misiones, who usually vote with the government, for example, turned against the bill without explaining why. For now, the bill can't return to Congress until 2026, and while Fernandez de Kirchner hasn't said if she'll run in the October midterms, her allies are already celebrating what they see as a green light for a comeback. Let's shift to the economic front. After yet another deadlock at the Minimum Wage Council, the government stepped in and raised the minimum wage by decree, something it's now done four times since taking office. The new wage will rise in stages from April through August, starting at 302,000 pesos, about $260 US, per month, and reaching 322,000, about $280 US, which is still well below what unions demanded. Labor leaders pushed for more than double that amount, arguing that current wages don't even come close to covering basic needs, especially with the poverty line for a small household now over 1 million pesos. In the midst of this, President Milei did manage to notch a small but symbolic victory. Fitch Ratings bumped Argentina's credit rating up a notch from CCC to CCC+. Thanks to signs of a faster-than-expected economic rebound. The agency credited Milei's push to scrap currency controls and drive a new deal with the IMF and drive down inflation. That said, the agency warned that holding on to reserves under the new currency regime won't be easy, and borrowing abroad still comes with a high price tag. Fitch also flagged the October midterms as a key moment that could shake up the economic outlook, depending on how much political backing Milei's agenda gets. Perhaps the provincial elections offer a preview of what's to come in October. On Sunday the 11th, four provinces, Salta, Jujuy, San Luis, and Chaco, hold their local elections. In Salta, Governor Gustavo Sáenz's alliance, the Salta Identity Party, or Partido Identidad Salteña, dominated the provincial legislature. However, the big surprise came in the capital, where the Libertarian Party, La Libertad Avanza, claimed an unexpected victory. In Jujuy, Governor Carlos Sadir's UCR-led alliance secured a solid victory. La Libertad Avanza placed second. In San Luis, Governor Claudio Pochi's coalition, Ahora San Luis, secured a decisive win over the Peronist Frente Justicialista. The Libertarians came in third. Lastly, in Chaco, a coalition between Governor Leandro Zedera's UCR and President Milei's La Libertad Avanza won decisively, capitalizing on divisions within the Peronist ranks. All in all, governors secured their control over local legislatures, but Milei showed noticeable growth, especially in districts with low voter turnout. While the political landscape shifts, the country's economic dealings are also evolving. In the latest development, China signed a deal with the Argentine exporters to buy approximately $900 million worth of soybeans, corn, and vegetable oil. This agreement highlights China's effort to bypass U.S. tariffs. Even though Argentina already supplies some soybeans and recently began exporting corn to China, this new commitment represents a significant increase in trade. Also related to tariffs, the Trump administration has outlined a strategy for its early trade negotiations, focusing on about 20 countries, both major exporters and smaller economies. Argentina is expected to play a key role in these talks. In other news, President Milei has filed criminal complaints against journalists Carlos Pagni, Viviana Canosa, and Ari Lihalad, accusing them of defamation and spreading false information that damaged his reputation. Pagni and Lihalad allegedly compared Milei to Adolf Hitler and Nazism, while Canosa called him a despot and an authoritarian. Milei's legal actions argue these statements severely harmed his honor, though Pagni has denied making this specific remarks attributed to him. On that note, a surprising discovery has emerged at the Argentine Supreme Court. Workers, while organizing archives for the upcoming creation of the court's museum, found several boxes containing Nazi propaganda materials that local authorities seized back in 1941. The materials, which include postcards, photographs, and notebooks, were originally shipped from the German embassy in Tokyo to Argentina during World War II. The documents, which could provide new insights into the Nazi regime's activities in Argentina, are being carefully analyzed with the help of various institutions, including the Amia Jewish Community Center and the Buenos Aires Holocaust Museum. Let's shift gears to something lighter. The 2025 Buenos Aires International Book Fair saw a 10% increase in attendance compared to last year, attracting nearly 1.24 million visitors. Among the bestsellers, El Eternauta topped the charts at Planeta's stand, followed by popular titles from authors like Daniel Lopez Rossetti and Samantha Schweblin. On the topic of El Eternauta, the show unexpectedly triggered a surge in people reaching out to the grandmothers of Plaza de Mayo, asking if they might be among the hundreds of babies stolen during Argentina's last dictatorship. In the week after the show's release, identity inquiries jumped more than fivefold compared to the same period last year. While the show doesn't directly touch on the dictatorship or child appropriation, the real-life tragedy of its author, Hector Hermann Osterheld, whose daughters and unborn grandchildren disappeared during the regime, resonated deeply. Human rights groups launched a campaign alongside the show to help find Osterheld's missing grandchildren and many others. And speaking of powerful cultural ripple effects, this time with a much lighter tone, Buenos Aires just scored a big win on the global stage. The city snagged the title of 2027 World Capital of Sport, and city officials are calling it a huge win. The European Association of Capitals and Cities of Sport picked Buenos Aires for its deep commitment to fitness, health, and community through sport. Mayor Jorge Macri made the announcement at the city's Olympic Park, saying the recognition puts Buenos Aires in the global spotlight and could attract new investment and big-name international events. Before we go, a reminder. The Buenos Aires city elections will be held on Sunday, the 18th of May. If you're a foreigner, you may be able to vote. The city is choosing 30 new lawmakers, and both naturalized citizens and permanent residents born abroad can take part if they meet the right conditions. Naturalized Argentines can vote like any other citizen, while permanent residents with a DNI and a city address can cast their votes for local offices, like the mayor or city legislature. Voters must be at least 16 and use the electronic ballot system, which involves choosing candidates on a screen and printing out their vote. Over 500,000 foreign residents are eligible this year, and the city registers them automatically once their paperwork is in order. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Don't worry, it's free. Help us grow and keep the updates coming. Nos vemos la próxima semana.